in episode 35. We're back, and we're also back with a special guest, my beautiful, loving wife, Rachel.
I kind of have a face for podcasting today.
Oh, no.
I mean, I definitely am dressed for podcasting.
Well, today. You popped by the office. We've had a couple of great conversations. One about Massimo in the past, right?
Yes,
then we did another one about Sagmeister and sort of our shared experience there. Although both of them were, I guess, shared experiences.
Yeah.
Thought it would, let's just keep the theme rolling and let's go with design inspiration, like famous designers that had an impact on your career or people that you looked up to. Maybe not necessarily met. You know, we don't have to pontificate about how amazing we are and how we've met all these amazing people and whatnot, right? Just general graphic designers. Since you're a designer and I'm a designer at heart, that sort of had a big impact on our career, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody come to, I'm springing this on you. There's no show notes. There's no prep here. You know, I can see the gears are turning.
Yeah.
What is coming to your mind? Or do you want me to go first? To
buy I mean, one of the queens of New York design, Pentagram.
Yeah.
Paula Scher.
Yeah.
Paula Scher. The public theater.
Sure.
Took the kids there this summer.
Yeah.
The story about her is, and you could probably tell it a little bit better, but she's famous for the Citibank logo, you know?
Yeah.
When Citibank merged with Travelers Insurance.
Yeah.
And she was sitting in the meeting and she had her notebook out like you and I do right here.
Yep.
And she drew it and it's CITI and the umbrella is going from the I to the I and the T is the handle of...
Yeah.
The umbrella, and she did it right then. And
yeah.
I believe somebody called her out on it, like, or maybe this is just folklore, but it was, okay, so you did that in 5 minutes. Why do I need to pay you?
Oh, I haven't heard that part of the story.
Really?
No. I heard that she had the inspiration in the meeting. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was realized in that meeting.
Again, this could be folklore. I don't have proof. I would love to have a conversation with her about it.
Sure.
But... I believe, you know, I don't know who said that to her. Maybe the client did, you know, why are we paying you $50,000, $500,000, whatever they were paying the fee. And
probably
she said, you know, she said, well, you know, I did that in 5 minutes, but I also did it in 25 years in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that goes to a few of the things you and I have spoken about so far is... We have not been our young design selves for a while. We can solve problems quicker.
Yeah.
We can sometimes work faster. That doesn't mean we should cut our fees and things.
Sure. So, I didn't realize we were talking about fees on this.
Sorry, let's edit that one out.
That's strong.
What about you, Dono? I mean, Paula Scher, look her up. I mean, just look her up if you're a student listening to this.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
Absolutely.
Do you have any of her projects that you...
No, I mean, the first one that comes to mind, obviously, is The Public, which, because it's such a great example of typography, expressive typography.
Yeah. Bring in the noise, bring in the funk, Savion Glover, I believe in the 90s.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was in every single graphic design annual in the 90s, but we're dating ourselves because we're starting to get older, right?
Well, but we started out dating, so.
Sure. For me... I would say, I'm going to throw an oddball out here for graphic design inspiration. When I stumbled across or was brought up in a class or somehow found Tibor Kalman, Tibor is probably my most, I don't want to say cherished, but somebody that I never met.
Right.
Somebody that I have no tendrils to, but I do have a love and appreciation of what he did back in the day and everything. I will say that, you know, we have quite a copious library of graphic design books, of the history of graphic design, of designers, of firms, of all sorts of different things, right?
I'm looking at them right here.
And Tibor's book is probably the only book that I've literally read every single letter of, you know, cover to cover multiple times.
Right.
Right. And I think that Tibor, spelled T-I-B-O-R, for those curious out there, very interesting story, very interesting designs. I ran a studio called M & Co., the letter M. And I think what is the inspiration for me around Tibor is that, and we mentioned this on a previous podcast with Massimo, was that it was really my foray into the ubiquity of graphic design being omnipresent. That was a lot of SAT words there, but meaning he did... not only design, right, like sort of call it corporate identity and call it print design and you know,
right.
Things, I mean, you know, believe it or not, people out there, there was design before the web, right? So when everything was printed and whatnot, right? But then also really veered into ingenuity with product design, with graphic design in products, you know, was very influential with typography, motion typography with music videos way back in the day, you know, late 80s and whatnot. It's what I mean by lay back in the day. So, you know, he designed a lot of products that are actually still being sold in the Museum of Art, Museum of Modern Art gift store, actually, too.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, he really transcended design, advertising, you know, all sorts of different things. And then I loved the little anecdotes and factoids about, he did a lot of really fun, awesome work for, I believe it was a restaurant, like a deli or something like that, like in New York. Mm-hmm. And it was for a lot of trade for lunches for, because I remember reading like, wait a minute, how in the world did this teeny little restaurant, how could they afford like M&Co's fees for all these, you know, like what in the world, right? And it was, oh, they got to eat lunch on Friday or whatever, you know, whatever the trade was.
Right.
So it was kind of really interesting for me to sort of bear witness to, you know, the how design can transcend off the printed page into actual modern devices and then, you know, products. And there was a lot of really, really nerdy graphic design for graphic design projects too. There's a set of dice where it's like, instead of 1 through 6, it's the different typefaces. It's like Bodoni, Futura, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I would say Tibor Kalman definitely is right up there for me. So,
yeah, I mean, and a lot of his work, it went to the side of activism, you know, I mean, he did things for Benetton and then he was the creative director of Colors magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was, you know, that was at the beginning of the AIDS pandemic. And,
yeah.
And he did things that people were not comfortable with.
Yeah. He would pick a topic and really blow that out for awareness, right? Yeah. To the point of uncomfortableness, of course, you know,
which is a great thing when you're in the world of design and advertising.
For sure. There's also there's a famous exercise and it's all over the internet, I'm sure by now, but where one of the issues of Colors was about race. And again, this is like pre-Photoshop. I mean, no one's like rocking Photoshop, you know, I mean, Photoshop may have been out, but I don't even think there was Photoshop Layers. I remember Layers came in version 3. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm going to mess this up, but it was imagery of Spike Lee, I believe. And it was a race swap is what he did.
Okay.
And the topic was, I mean, we're talking about race. That was what the issue of the magazine was about.
Right.
But it was like, hey, would our perceptions of things change if, you know, according to race, right? And I believe he made Spike Lee a white guy.
Okay.
He made Arnold Schwarzenegger Chinese. You know, I think he changed the race of the Pope. You know, they're all sort of very like touchy sort of subjects to spark dialogue and curiosity, which I thought was interesting. So again, that's, you know, design being conceptual, right? Being more advertorial to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing up the Colors thing. I wasn't even thinking about, I mean, such a varied career. That it really was all over the place. So I'm going to say Tibor Kalman. So.
Yeah. And just to sort of spiral off Tibor, his wife, Myra Kalman, is one of my favorite children's book illustrators. She's an illustrator in general.
Yeah.
But man, that book, What Pete Ate.
Yes.
The dog book from A to Z.
Yeah.
Oh, and she just has this flair for like New York, you know, and just a little Yiddish in her books. And if you haven't read What Pete Ate
with
your kids, it is, and they will be repeating it to you. But it's a long book. But
every time you stop by, we mention New York. I feel a little bit, you know.
Like,
you're a New Yorker at heart. Well, it's like there's a little piece really of my heart that's always in San Francisco.
Yeah,
though,
yeah. You know? I mean,
really more from a sports team perspective than anything else, but.
You know, just to show off, I did introduce myself to her at a design conference.
Yeah, you have balls of steel. I'm just going to say that.
Right? Who doesn't love some, you know?
Somebody coming up and saying, I love your work or I appreciate you or thank you or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, you've gone up to David Carson at a surf show.
Surf Expo
down in Orlando.
He was just sitting there.
You David Carson, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I said, you've got to come meet my husband.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Took and then I did put you on the spot, though. Do you remember? Because I was like, hey, look who this is, Don. And
oh,
you were,
no.
And you were a little bit like, and I was like, Don, David Carson, yeah. Our hero.
Well, I don't think I was right in the right
yeah,
frame of mind,
no. So. I mean, we were doing something else for a surf expo.
David Carson is a great famous designer from the 90s, too.
I mean, he was who everybody loved when we were juniors and seniors in college.
Yeah,
and I'm sure our professors were not thrilled with his design because they were trying to teach us the rules and all he did was break them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he's self-taught, too. I mean, it wasn't I don't think he had a full, layout and proportion or a type one teacher, right?
Right.
But I would say that he is the graphic design personification of 90s grunge,
right? Yeah.
I mean, if you think about 80s hair metal, 90s grunge, musical movements or whatever, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he was like Nirvana and Pearl Jam for a Pepsi ad, you know what I mean? And,
right.
And sort of broke all the rules. He's very famous for Ray Gun magazine,
right.
And sort of like grid. What grid? I mean, we're just grunging up, and he would purposely take terrible photography, right? Like blurry photography mm-hmm. on those little click and whatever.
Yeah. Point and shoots.
Then develop those, scan those in as backgrounds. I mean, again, there's no like stock photography resources
right.
and nothing.
And
online,
and
right?
he didn't care about resolution.
No. But I think that was what made it so cool, though. Was like, oh, I found this chewed up ball of bubble gum in the gutter on the side. And I'm totally putting words in his mouth.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And then it was like, hey, let's scan that in and use it as a texture in this thing. It was kind of lost and found guerrilla style, design, which I think really appealed. He tapped into a good visualization of the youth at that time,
right.
which I think is cool.
Right.
So, but yeah. Okay. So you went up to Myra, said hello. You went up to Carson, said hello. Mm. You've done all that fun stuff. So.
It's wild because they go to specific places where they are famous. Everybody's going to recognize them.
Yeah.
And then.
But Carson was not. He was at a surf show.
No. Yeah. Nobody at the surf show
now,
really
would have
known
him. Now, he
worked
on a lot of surf magazines.
Yeah. I think he was the creative director for Surfer magazine.
Yeah.
But. So at a conference, at a design conference, Myra, David, they would all be swarmed, but you run into them in, the airport or something and they're back to being.
Yeah, nobody knows who these people are except for us.
So it's kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of cool to be renowned in your field.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So any other sort of design inspiration you mentioned Paula, obviously mm-hmm. I mentioned mm-hmm. Tibor. Mm-hmm. Anybody else that comes to mind? Not necessarily, we can do another podcast another time talking about the Mount Rushmore of design for you, just any closing thoughts on anything we've discussed?
Well, I don't think it would close the thoughts. I think it would just open it
up,
20 more minutes.
Go for it. Well, what? Give us a little teaser.
Well, especially when I was in grad school and began teaching, there's a graphic designer out there named Ellen Lupton.
Mm.
And she has probably written the most graphic design books out there. And I would teach my typography one class out of her book called Thinking with Type.
Okay.
Which I couldn't even imagine how many editions there are right now.
Okay.
But she's done all kinds, and I think she speaks to me because she's also a mom. She's an educator.
Okay.
She still practices. She is married to a graphic designer also.
Oh, my word.
So it's a lot of similarities. Yeah. And once again, I've walked up to her at a...
Yeah.
But she was somebody, when I was in grad school, I really was aspiring to be.
Cool.
So that's somebody who's really influenced me.
Lupton?
Yeah, Ellen Lupton.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Check her out, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, we'll wrap it up for the day. Thanks for listening. You can find us on the interwebs, as Rob likes to say, at mocktheagency.com. and look us up on the socials, And hey, feel free to drop us a note at hello@mocktheagency for anything you want us to chat about or any feedback and whatever. We'll take it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.